From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch.
Our guest is Park City resident Joel Zuckerman. He is a two-time recipient of the International Network of Golf Book of the Year Award. And he has written, eight or so books about golf. But he's made a shift. Well, really, Joel Zuckerman does all kinds of things, so it's not necessarily a shift. But he's now published a book of letters about his gratitude for people. Now, there are no publisher's notes per se, and this book is not for sale. It was a private label project, and Joel only printed 125 copies, and then he gave them away to a good number of people whose letters are contained therein. He also has a new podcast, which is just getting off the ground, called Mostly Grateful, Slightly Hateful. We're pleased he could join us to talk about this inspirational embrace of gratitude. Joel Zuckerman, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Good morning, Lynn. Thanks for having me, and Merry Christmas. Happy, healthy New Year to you.
Thank you. Same to you on all of those. And
thank you.
Grateful is your book. It's comprised of about 180 letters that you started writing, coming up on it about a decade ago. What was the impetus?
Well, in 2013, Thanksgiving of 2013, I happened upon a book on my wife's nightstand, a very famous self-help book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And I never read self-help books, and I'm not into that type of thing, but I was glancing through that book. The chapters are short. They're only a couple pages long. And I was thumbing through. None of it really resonated with me. But one of the chapters said, write a heartfelt letter. And because I'm a writer, I've written a bunch of books, and I've written for 100 different magazines over time, that really struck a chord with me. So I sat down that very afternoon, and I wrote a letter, a heartfelt letter. I renamed them very quickly to Letters of Gratitude. I wrote a letter to a work colleague of mine, a friend of mine who was helpful to me in many aspects of my writing and traveling and speaking career. And I was taken aback when I mailed the letter. So I typed it on my computer into my hard drive, and I got his address and stamped the envelope and mailed it. And I felt a degree of satisfaction similar to when you give someone precise directions when they ask you where a certain location is, or if you hold the door open for someone, or you let someone in front of you in traffic, but at a higher level. I felt like, wow, I really did a good deed. So I wrote another letter a week or so later, and then another, and then another, and before long I had a dozen, and then 50, and then 100. And I was writing over the period of six or seven years. And when I got to my 150th letter, I thought to myself, this would make a really nice book, a keepsake book. So I said I would write 30 more letters to get to 180. I wrote the 150th letter 4th of July of 2019. And then I said, when I write 30 more letters, I'm going to slowly put the wheels in motion to put together a keepsake book and give it away to people who I care about, who I had written to in the book. So my philosophy very simply was, I was lucky in my career. I sold a couple hundred thousand books, mostly 99% to strangers. So I said, let me print 125 books and give them away to people who I care about. So that's the impetus of Grateful.
What are the elements of a really great letter of gratitude? There must be some key, points that you follow.
So let me say this. My goal, it's funny how the project evolved, because up until the first 150 letters, and that's, that took 5 or 6 years, I'm not going to say that all the letters were straightforward. They were reasonably straightforward. Every letter, by the way, is about 300 or 400 words. It's one page typed. And if I have more to say to that person, I will shrink the font so I can get in another paragraph or two, depending on what I'm saying to who. basically what I would say, so the first 150 letters, not all of them were straightforward. Some of them were straightforward and others were a little bit more elaborate. But once I knew that I was going to turn this into a book for public consumption, I started to add a little bit more panache to the letters and make them more readable, because my whole writing career, which is 25 years old, I've always tried to write engaging material that people reading magazines or newspapers or my books would want to read. So I kind of upped the ante over the last 18 months. But in answer to your question, what I consider a letter of gratitude to be is a thank you note. But instead of thanking someone for a gift or a party they invited me to or a dinner, I'm thanking them for being themselves. I'm thanking them for the relationship that we enjoy. Now, some of the letters are very heartfelt and, you know, people that are very close to me that I've known my whole life. Others are letters to people I haven't known for that long. Some of the letters, not too many, are slightly transactional in nature. Business associates, people who did me a service in my writing and traveling career. But most of the letters are heartfelt letters of thanks for, thank you for being you, is the best way I can describe it.
And as a recipient, not necessarily of one of your letters, but I welcome one of those. I had an intern who wrote a 6-page handwritten note the other day. And it was truly one of you know, your inspirations as far as a letter of gratitude. And it made, you know, he and I had been working together for 3 to 4 months. But I have this question that was it more for me that he wrote that, or was it more for himself? And I ask that for you. Was this process more for yourself or for those that you actually were giving those letters to?
What a fantastic question. It's a really wonderful question. And I have a 2-part answer for you.
Okay.
Some people have a hard time. I've been doing research on this because I'm getting into gratitude and for my podcast, which I'll talk about in a moment if we have the time. Some people have a hard time accepting compliments. I'm not talking about nice goggles or boy, you drive well, but I'm talking about heartfelt, detailed compliments. There's a certain percentage of society that cannot handle a compliment. They will brush it off. So if you're giving someone a compliment like, Bill, you are so integral to our company. We could not have done this project without you. And you've been pulling your weight and more than your weight for years. Bill might brush it off. Oh, it's nothing. Don't worry about it, because he doesn't want the attention. I've learned from my research that hurts the compliment giver, because the person giving the compliment, not only trying to compliment Bill, he's doing it or she's doing it for themselves. They are expressing themselves, and if the person shuts them down just because they can't stand the attention or they don't think it's warranted, it's hurtful to the person giving the compliment. So what does that have to do with my letters of gratitude? I write the letters because I feel deep connection or affection. For out of the 180 letters I wrote, deep connection or affection for 150 or 160. I mentioned some of them were a little bit more transactional in nature. And I do it ultimately for myself, but I also want the recipient to feel good. And I have 4 reasons why I encourage people to write letters of gratitude. Number 1, it feels good for the recipient. Imagine you open your mail, it's bills, it's circulars, it's magazines, it's a bunch of crap. And you get an unexpected out of the blue letter from someone you know, someone who you presumably have a good relationship with, who is singing your praises. It's likely to be one of the highlights of your day. Number 2, it feels good for me, the letter writer. I told you at the beginning of this spot that when I wrote that first letter, I was taken aback on how it made me feel. The 3rd reason is it makes the recipient feel good about you. Hopefully they liked you anyway or had a neutral to positive opinion of you, but when they get a letter like that from you, they're thinking, wow, Joel, I always thought he was kind of a wise guy, but this is a whole different side of him I didn't realize existed. And 4th and finally, pay it forward. I'm hoping by talking about this book and writing letters. Now, usually I publicize books. I get on the radio or television. I talk about my books, trying to engender sales, interest. In this case, the book isn't for sale. So the only reason we're talking about the book is I want people to think, if this guy can write 180 letters, and by the way, since the book came out, I've written about five or six more. I'm closing in on 190 different letters. Maybe someone who's listening tonight today would say, I could write one to my college roommate. I could write my mother. I could write my brother. I haven't seen him in a year. So I'm just trying to encourage people to consider writing letters of gratitude.
I think that is an honorable task. And I know certainly how when that intern made me feel, and I'm the supervisor, I can only imagine how all of your recipients felt. And certainly the beauty of your journey is to encourage others to feel that gratitude and allow others to feel that gratitude. Why such a philanthropic endeavor?
What do you mean, the book or the letters?
The letters, both, the book. I mean, there's an element where you could have monetized that, but perhaps you could have.
It could have been your best-selling book.
I'll tell you what, I had no idea that, you know, so I have, it's overstating it to call it a fan base, but I have many people, hundreds of people have bought all of my books in the past. And I got a lot of inquiries because I put one little social media post up. On Facebook and Instagram, I showed the cover of my new book, and I said something like, my ninth and final book, my first and only social media post, because I get a kick out of this, and I'm saying that kind of sarcastically, my fellow writers who incessantly promote their work. Mm. They're constantly going on Instagram, Facebook, wherever, to talk about their new book. And I was that guy for 20 years. You have to ring the register. You want people to know what you're doing. You want to get on television and radio so people will go to the website and buy your book. And it's, I don't want to say it's obnoxious, but people don't care that much. You know, if they know you and they want to buy your book, they will. So I made a point of saying this is my one and only social media post. And then I got hit with messages, direct messages or public messages, where do I get it? I don't see it on Amazon. And I'm like, whoa, 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 it's not for sale. Mm-hmm. And so I thought about, it's too late, but I could have printed whatever X number of copies. My books, my commercial books printed 5 to 25,000 copies. So this was a little, you know, a little trifle, 125 books just for people close to me. But I had no idea there would be interest in it beyond the people who were written about in the book. So it's been a journey. It's an interesting project. I loved it, and I want to give credit to the designer of the book. She's a local woman. Her name is Michelle Rayner, and she has a business called Cosmic Design. And I met Michelle. I Googled Park City graphic designers. We got together. We worked hand in glove for a year, and Michelle Rayner produced a beautiful book. I'm not gonna mince words. I was so pleased with it. And I saved one of my 180 letters for Michelle as the project was going because I was so pleased with her professionalism and her skill. The book she produced for me is as nice as any of the other books I've written and nicer than most.
Well, I certainly can appreciate that, but I am not a math person. If you wrote 180 letters and only printed 125 books, there must be a few. There must be a few that you left off your list.
Oh, right.
Not everyone of your 180 received a book.
You are asking some really. You're such a good listener. Well said.
Lynn, I think, had a next question for you, so you don't have to answer that one. I'll give you the out on that one.
That's a great question. I'll answer it after Lynn asked me what she wanted to ask me.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to talk a little bit about, I met you through Toastmasters, and one of the greatest things about Toastmasters, well, there are many great things about Toastmasters, but the evaluation is a portion of Toastmasters where you listen to someone else's prepared speech and then you evaluate that person. And it gives you the opportunity to pick out something that they did well and something that they could work on, and then let them know what you liked most about their speech. And that exercise shifted. It really changed my life, because what it taught me is that there's always something good that can be found in something else that someone did, no matter how crappy they may think it is, right? Or how unpolished it may actually be. And this seems to be the psychological or even the physiological shift that you have when you write a letter of gratitude. Were there letters that you wrote that you didn't necessarily, you didn't know that you felt such gratitude for a person or an act of kindness until you started writing?
Boy, another excellent question. Let me answer that, and I want to answer the other question about the number of books, which was really very insightful. Here's the answer, Len. I never once wrote a letter to Tom or Dick or Harry thinking, well, I wrote to Tom and Dick and Harry, I should really write to Bob and Steve and Joe. I never wrote a letter out of obligation. I only would go to the computer when I felt the creative streak bubbling up inside of me. I never, say I have two good friends, Jim and Joe, and I wrote to Jim, and I know Jim is going to tell Joe that he got a letter from me, I better write Joe, otherwise he's going to feel left out. That never happened. I only wrote the letters when I was feeling something either long-term, in other words, you know, a lifelong or many years of gratitude to that person, or that person did something that encouraged me to go to the computer. I will mention an example that just popped into my head. You and I are both friendly with John Kincannon, right?
Yes.
Nice guy, Toastmaster here in town. John and I have been friendly for years. I don't know him that well, but I'm always happy to see him. I run into John in the parking lot at Wells Fargo a couple of years ago, and John's a do-gooder. He's involved in many, you know, altruistic enterprises. I keep buying poinsettias from him that he would sell for the Boy Scouts at Christmas, and I would give them out to some of my friends. John happened to mention to me in the parking lot at Wells Fargo that he was going to the homeless shelter on Christmas Day to go volunteer.
Yeah.
And I went home and I wrote him a letter of gratitude. I said, there's got to be more people like you in the world. That's how it works.
Yes.
Either it's a lifelong friend, my sister, my daughter, my granddaughter, that I just have gratitude for from beginning to end, or someone like John Kincannon says or does something that inspires me to go to the computer.
That is nice. Really nice.
and I want to get to the point about 125 books and 180 letters. Short answer. Some of the people that I wrote to over the last 7 years have passed away. Some of the people, I'll say this again, I've said it earlier in our conversation, were more transactional in nature. I was in the golf business for many years. Pros that I've written to, associates, fellow writers or producers that I wrote a letter of gratitude to back in the day, but I don't feel are deserving of a book. And thirdly, and most importantly, I'll give you an example of the family dynamic. I have a daughter. She has a husband. They have a baby. I wrote to my daughter. I wrote to her then fiance. I wrote to the two of them on their wedding day, and then I wrote to their daughter, my granddaughter. That's four letters, one book goes to their house. They live in Salt Lake City.
Simple
so I'm not
math.
Four books for the four letters.
Simple math, I like that.
Right, so if you think about A, people who've passed away, B, people who are more transactional in nature that have come and gone from my life, so to speak, and three, this is family-oriented more than anything else. If I wrote to my daughter and her husband and a baby, that's one book. Or I wrote to my sister, her husband, and their son. Three letters in the book, but that's just one copy that I would send out to their home.
And for all of our listeners, although we would have loved to see the book, We have not received a book, and nor do we expect one. So thank you, Joel, for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Hey, let me just say real quick, visit my new podcast, Mostly Grateful, Slightly Hateful, wherever podcasts can be heard.
Give us a quick 30-second on what Mostly Grateful, Slightly Hateful is about.
Well, we're trying to distinguish ourselves from all the Zen, hippie, incense, gratitude podcasts out there, which are of many, many, many. And people who know me, Lynn, you know me a little bit. I've got a hard edge. I'm grateful. I'm a grateful person, obviously, but I've got an edge. So the podcast is mostly grateful, but just slightly hateful.
Okay. And another 30 seconds here. I want to get your commentary on this. The Facebook page Park City Bitch and Complain has 4,063 followers, while a wonderful community organization like the Christian Center of Park City that does nothing but good for our whole community has 3,487 followers.
We need to rant more.
What do you say about that?
You really need an answer to that. What's more popular, C-SPAN or the Jerry Springer Show?
Yeah. It's a
shame. Do you drive down the highway at full speed when you see a car upside down, or do you stop and rubberneck? I mean, let's face it. People are people. That Park City Bitch and Complain, I'm a voyeur. I see it. And God forbid you make a post a comment on that thing. The people will turn on you like hyenas. If you say anything, they'll jump down your throat. So, I don't know.
That's right.
It's a crazy world. Let's just
we'll figure it out.
Modal gratitude.
Yeah, we'll figure it out on our next interview. Joel Zuckerman, thank you so much for joining us on The Mountain Life. Great to have you.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.